The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Beloved of God, grace to you and peace from God our Maker and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Scripture is brimming with stories of call, like those we hear in our readings today. Patriarchs and matriarchs, prophets and kings, disciples and apostles, their lives intersected with God's life as they were called to be part of God's work in the world. I notice something when I read and study these call stories in Scripture. The stories are not considered private. They're personal. Samuel heard the Lord calling to him by name. Nathanael was perplexed that Jesus seemed to know him, know his name, know something about him, even though they'd never met. God's call is personal and particular. But it isn't private. Stories of call were to be shared with others because the call of one was for the benefit of the whole. Our biblical ancestors, when you think about it, were not shy about authoring their call story. Mary sang the Magnificat. The Samaritan woman left her water jar and ran into the city to talk about being met by Jesus. The men on the road to Emmaus were eager to tell of their encounter with the risen Christ. I have a pretty solid hunch that we are not as eager to speak forthrightly about God's work in our lives. Why do you think that is? Is it because we don't want to seem like one of those Christians? Or is it because we don't think God calls us anymore? Was that just a Bible Times thing? Do we believe that ordinary human beings are still included in the holy work of God? Or did God simply stop calling? I hope we don't believe that, because there is no way that you are sitting here in a pew on a Sunday morning in the Pacific Northwest where hardly anybody goes to church without having been called into this story. Haven't you heard? You could be watching 3 hours of pregame coverage right now. You could find out what Russell Wilson had for breakfast, how much Richard Sherman's mother loves him. You could be finding out all of that, but you are not. You are here because you are part of this story. You have been called into it, and you have a story to share. I had a humbling experience this past week that prompted me to really reflect on this. At noon Bible study on Wednesday, we were reading this gospel text, this call story of Philip and Nathanael, and someone asked me about how I discerned a call to ministry. I immediately brushed the question aside, in part because I didn't want to focus on the call to ordained ministry. I wanted to focus on the call that all of us have as baptized people. But to be honest, I also brushed it aside because to speak personally about God's call requires vulnerability, doesn't it? Later that evening at the Wednesday night class, we were beginning a series on testimony, coincidentally. I described how sharing our stories of God's work in our lives strengthens the fabric of faith in a community. And I felt a twinge of hypocrisy because I had been hesitant to do that very thing. So I'm going to break with preaching protocol today and spend a few minutes sharing a story of call from my own life. I do this with a bit of fear and trembling because I was not schooled in testimony-style preaching, and I am very, very Norwegian. But I do believe that our stories are a means of grace, a means through which the Holy Spirit builds up the body. So here it goes. In the mid-80s, as a young adult, I was a teacher in Seattle at a school for hearing-impaired children. I had 6 kids in my class. It was my dream job and very much a calling. I lived with 2 other single women who were also starting out their careers. We had a lot of friends and very few responsibilities. It was fun. I found a church that I liked, and I attended Sunday mornings. I sat by myself, which is tough, as many of you know, but the people were friendly, and worship anchored the rest of my week. I felt a sense of peace. After a while, I was invited to teach Sunday school, and then after a while, I was church council. I know that I was filling the young adult demographic, but that was okay. I felt very welcomed, and like my input and my voice mattered. After a couple years, the pastor told me about a group that he was forming, a group that would commit to going on retreat once a month to study the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel and to worship together and pray. My pastor had done a lot of retreat ministry. He was very good at it. It was his gift. He invited me into this group. It was life-changing. I've always been drawn to the stories of Scripture. I grew up in a house where we read Bible stories each night. The characters lived in my imagination as if they were my own crazy relatives. But to have time to deeply immerse myself in just 3 chapters of Matthew's Gospel was a priceless gift. At the same time, I had a dear friend in seminary, and when we would talk on the phone, I would ask her about her classes. I wanted details. I would say, "So you're taking a Psalms class, what do you teach in that?" And I remember one time she told me she had a class called Creation and Redemption, which just sounds awesome. And she said, "Rebecca, you really should come to seminary." "No," I would say, "I have a call. I'm a teacher." I would think back to when I was in high school and my youth pastor would say, "You know, Rebecca, we need good women in seminary." And I would shudder. I grew up in a parsonage, and I had a happy childhood. It was a good life. Only I rarely saw my father, except at dinner. When my older sister learned to speak, she used the same word for daddy and bye-bye. I just didn't want that. So I responded to my friend the same way I responded to my youth pastor. "Sorry, not for me." But during the course of this retreat year, something was changing. To study Scripture and share meals and prayer with other Christians, it was one of the richest experiences I'd had up to that point. Then one day, my pastor, who I think was crazy like a fox, invited me to go on a hospital call with him. One of the sons of the parish had been in a terrible car accident. I didn't know him, but he was in his 20s like me. He had lost both of his legs and suffered a traumatic brain injury. For some reason, I agreed to go. I was terrified. I wanted to jump out of the car the whole way to UW Hospital. But then a remarkable thing happened. While we were visiting with him, a peace came over me, like the peace I felt in worship. I didn't feel afraid. All that I had been reading in Matthew's gospel about the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn, it was all right there in front of me. We wheeled him around the neighborhood where Husky Stadium is and visited. We laughed, I'm sure we cried, we prayed. I remember thinking, wow, this is intense. But it also felt very real. I don't know exactly what I mean by that, but it's a sense that I've had in many a hospital room since, like I'm standing on holy ground. That fall, I was invited to attend a workshop in Portland on behalf of my congregation. I think it was on young adult ministry or something. I can't even remember. What I remember is sitting in the sanctuary and listening to the Bible study leader open up John's gospel for us. And I sat there thinking, I want to know that. I want to learn that. I want to open those things for other people. So when that little voice came to me, you should go to seminary, I didn't immediately answer no. I decided to try it on like you would try on clothes. I loved my life. I didn't want to change it. Yet there was something irresistible about going more deeply into whatever this thing was that had me in its grip. I came to understand that as a call. That's how it's worked in my experience. It's when I look back, I see patterns in my life I recognize as God's hand at work. God's Spirit calling me more deeply into the reign of God. I see patterns that I recognize from Scripture. Patterns like invitation, right? That's what that gospel text was all about. Jesus inviting friend, invitation, so many faithful people opening doors and inviting us into the work of justice and healing and compassion, the work of the reign of God. I see the pattern of confusion, like in Samuel's case, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. And then that pattern of the community helping one to discern, like Eli helped Samuel. We see this in you. We think these are your gifts. The community is an important part of call. And I see the pattern of resistance, because answering God's call is rarely comfortable and it always costs something. But God provides us with what we need as we step forth in answering this call. So I ask you, where do you see these patterns in your life? What invitations have mattered most to you? When have your gifts been noticed and named by faithful people whom you trust? When have you had to wrestle with discomfort or fear in order to step out in faith? When have you found courage that you didn't know you had? All of these are marks of holy calling. Like scores of faithful people who have gone before you, you have been called into this ongoing work of God in Jesus Christ. You have been called by this God who, as our psalmist so beautifully expresses in Psalm 139, this God who knows you better than you know yourself. As individuals and as a community, let's share our stories. Like our ancestors, let's hold them with care. They are a means through which God is present with us, upholding us, encouraging us, and bringing in the reign of God. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.